Fine. Gaspode's mottled nose wrinkled up in effort. Pond, he said. Not very big. About a mile away. She'll be heading towards it. Very meticulous about cleanliness, Angua. That's not usual in werewolves. Never been one for water myself, said Gaspode. Is that a fact?
Yeah, no need for that. I had a B-A-T-H once, you know. It's not as if I don't know what it's like.
The pond was in a clump of wind-blown trees. Dry grass rustled in the breeze. A single coot scuttled into the reeds as Carrot and Gaspode approached.
Yeah, here we are, said Gaspode. A lot of muck goes in and...
He sniffed at the stirred-up mud.
Yeah, she comes out.
Is there a problem? Said Carrot.
What? Oh, no. Clear scent. Heading for the mountains, just like you said.
Gaspode sat down and scratched himself with a hind leg.
There's a problem, isn't there? Said Carrot.
Well, supposing there was something really bad that you wouldn't really want to know, and I knew what it was, how do you feel about me telling you? I mean, some people'd rather not know. It's a personal thing.
Gaspode.
She's not alone. There's another wolf.
Ah.
Carrot's mild, uninformative smile did not change.
Of the male persuasion, said Gaspode.
Boy wolf.
Very much so.
Thank you, Gaspode.
Extremely male. In a very definite way. Unmistakably.
Yes, I think I understand.
And this is just words. In smell, it's a lot more, well, emphatic.
Thank you for that, Gaspode, and they're heading...
Still straight for the mountains, boss,
said Gaspode, as kindly as he could. He wasn't certain of all the details of human sexual relationships, and the ones he was certain of he still couldn't quite believe, but he knew they were a lot more complicated than those enjoyed by the doggy fraternity.
This smell?
The extremely male one I was talking about.
The very one, yes, said Carrot, levelly.
You could still smell it if you were on a horse, could you?
I could smell it with my nose and a sack of onions.
Good, because I think we should move a little faster now. Yeah, I thought you'd think that.
Constable Visit saluted when Nobby and Colon entered Pseudopolis Yard.
I thought you ought to know about this right away, sir, he said, flourishing a piece of paper. I just got it off Rodney.
Who?
The imp on the bridge, sir. He paints pictures of carts going too fast.
No one had been feeding him, Visit added in a mildly accusing tone.
Oh, someone's speeding, said Colon.
So?
He looked again.
That's one of those sedan chairs the deep-down dwarfs use, isn't it? Them trolls must have been moving.
It was just after the scone was stolen, said Visit. Rodney writes the time in the corner, see? A bit odd, I thought. Like a kind of getaway vehicle, sir?
What did a dwarf want to steal a worthless lump of rock for?
Said Colon.
Especially them dark dwarfs. They give me the creeps in those stupid clothes they wear.
Angry silence rang like a dropped girder in a temple. There were three dwarfs in the room.
You two, you ought to be out on patrol, barked Sergeant Strong in the arm. I've got business down at Chitterlin Street.
All three dwarfs marched out, somehow contriving even to walk angrily.
Well, what was that about? Said Fred Colon. Bit touchy, aren't they? Mr. Vimes says that sort of thing all the time and no one minds.
Yeah, but that's because he's Sam Vimes, said Nobby.
Oh, and are you inferring I'm not? Said Captain Colon.
Well, yes, Fred. You're Fred Colon, said Nobby patiently.
Oh, I am I?
Yes, Captain Colon.
And they'd better bloody remember it, Colon snapped. I'm not a soft touch, me. I'm not going to take insubordination like that. I've always said Vimes was a bit too soft on those dwarfs. They gets the same pay as us, and they're only half the size.
Yes, yes, said Nobby, waving his hands placatingly in a desperate attempt to calm things down. But, Fred, trolls are twice as big as us, and they get paid the same, so it...
But they've only got a quarter of the brains, so it's just the same, like I said.
The noise they heard was long and drawn out and menacing. It was the sound of Lance Constable Blue John's chair being pushed back. The floor creaked as he shambled past Colon, removed his helmet from its peg with one enormous hand and headed for the door.
"Going on patrol,"
he mumbled.
"You're not on patrol for another hour,"
said Constable Visit.
"Going now,"
said Blue John. The room was darkened for a moment as he eclipsed the doorway, and then he was gone.
"Why is everyone so titchy all of a sudden?" said Colon.
The remaining constables tried not to catch his eye.
"Did I hear someone snigger?"
he demanded.
I didn't hear anyone snigger, Sarge, said Nobby.
Oh, you think I'm a sergeant?